Welcome to All Analytics Radio. This is Jim Connolly. I'm editor of allanalytics.com. Well, it's that most wonderful time of year. Wonderful if you're a little kid or a retailer who gets their strategy right. It's not so wonderful for those retailers who have lots of great product and no shoppers in the aisles. Retailers in the spotlight this month on A2 and in our lives as, you know, many of us embark on holiday shopping. Today's program looks at some of the issues and opportunities facing the retail sector. If you aren't a retailer, however, the same changes will have an impact on you each time you break out those credit cards, or you may want to implement some of the techniques of successful retailers in your own companies. One key trend in retail, as in many other sectors, is the issue of finding the right balance between the use of analytics and reliance on staff experience. Our guest will explain why you need both. Brittany Bullard is author of the new book, Style and Statistics, which will be featured in next month's National Retail Federation Big Show in New York. Brittany also is a solutions and analytical consultant in the retail and consumer packaged goods practice at SAS. Before we begin the discussion, let me add a couple notes for the listeners. You can post questions for our guests and comments via peers on the live chat box on the All Analytics streaming audio page. I'll share as many questions as I can with our guests during the live audio session, and then we will address more during the chat session at the bottom of the hour. Welcome to A2 Radio, Brittany. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great here. So let's start. Let's take the pulse of retail analytics right now. How advanced are most traditional retailers in the use of analytics?
So to be honest, as I've learned over the last couple of years working with different retailers at SAS, there are a large amount of traditional retailers that are more just beginning to start infusing analytics into their process. There's a lot of business rules type of methodology that they're leveraging, and they're really starting to understand in this omnichannel world, they've got to make changes to really stay in the game and improve their profitability as pricing pressures are increasing and customers are really just looking for the most seamless experience.
And how does the progress of those analytics, I mean, it sounds like they're going to be way behind the online folks who, you know, younger companies built on analytics. You know, what are you seeing in those in the younger retailers that the traditional big, you know, brick and mortar stores might want to duplicate?
So there are definitely a lot of up and coming online retailers. You know, the traditional retailers clearly have a larger amount of market share right now, but the smaller retailers are really starting to take on. I always use the example of Stitch Fix. They are one of my favorite. They are a startup. And what they have done is created a business out of personalizing assortments for their customers. So basically, each month or 2 to 4 weeks, you receive a box of product in the mail, 5 items. And if you like the items, you keep them and they charge a credit card. If you don't like it, then you ship it back. And what they have done is actually leveraged analytics and the attributes of the clothes, such as the sleeve length, the colors, the fits, the silhouettes, to start to learn your patterns and what you truly like over time to refine the box each and every month. So it's that type of analytics and really, again, that seamless experience where I just walk to my door on a Saturday. It's the most exciting Saturday of the month, and I've got a box of cute items. And again, if I don't like it, I just throw it back in the mail. So it's all about leveraging the analytics to truly understand who your customer is, as well as making that experience easy so that it's really driving their path to purchase.
Now, in I was just going to say, in a case like that, as a consumer, do you see the product selection getting closer and closer to what you want?
I do. Yep. Each month. So I've actually been doing it for the last 9 months. As I started to write my book, I was doing some research on different retailers, and I found this company. So I've actually been a customer for quite a while now, and each box in the beginning, it was so-so. I may have liked one item, and then it continued to grow, and now I'm keeping all five items. So they definitely know what they're doing, and they also leverage social media. So social media is becoming another large aspect of understanding the customer. So they actually can follow your Pinterest boards to see if you're active on Pinterest, what are the clothes that you're picking. So they're still that stylist, right? So they're leveraging the analytics to help drive the recommendations of what they should put in that package, but then they're also still leveraging the art and the stylist to say, okay, you know, based upon what this person said in the comments, because you can add comments. I'm going to Europe soon, so I wanted some more warm clothing where typically I work and live in Florida. So they've started to adjust it based upon that. So it's still about the art and the science of it.
Now, that's interesting because obviously as they get it better, that's going to reduce their cost in terms of product production and product handling, and mm-hmm. also build loyalty with you, you know, as the customer, as they get it right.
Exactly. And when if you think about it, when they're sending me product, it may take a couple days to get to my house, and then I have, I think, 5 days to submit online whether or not I want to keep it or return it. So that's a good week and a half that the product is not in their warehouse. So if I'm not going to buy it, that's a week and a half where it's going, the life of the product is decreasing and it could have been selling somewhere else. So the more they fine-tune it, definitely the more their costs are reduced in shipping.
Yeah.
And that's really something that we're seeing. That's something that we're also seeing in retail in general, right? Is even the traditional retailers, as they are moving towards fulfilling from stores. Everyone a couple of years ago had a big movement to create these fulfillment centers to start fulfilling online orders. But as in-store sales have reduced, a lot of them are moving to fulfilling from their stores. But then you've got to have that intelligent fulfillment model so that you're able to fulfill at the lowest shipping cost from that point as well.
So, yeah, that was the big deal when companies like Walmart were doing, you know, order online, pick up in store. Now they're basically skipping the warehouse and taking it right up, shipping it right from the store to your door, right?
Yep, exactly. And then sometimes you can also use that type of methodology to help drive the customer's path to purchase. So if you think about it, let's say you don't have it in your warehouse, but you do have it in your local store, being able to offer a $10 off your purchase online if you pick up in store can also help you shape your customer's behavior in your favor.
Are you seeing stores that companies actually doing that?
Yeah. And I think more and more as people start to leverage analytics and have a more intelligent way of engaging with the customer online and starting to really understand who that customer is, that will drive more of the personalization.
Now, let me take you back to the more traditional brick-and-mortar stores. You know, we see stores basically going out of business every few months, it seems. Now, have you seen instances where a brick-and-mortar store was able to save their corporate existence through the use of analytics?
Yes. I definitely think that there are examples where infusing analytics and being much more intelligent with their business process has helped customers to increase profitability. If you think about size, for example, if you can have the greatest assortment in the world, but if you don't have the right sizes in the store, then you're going to lose that sale. So traditionally, many retailers had a very traditional approach in determining what the sizes should be and which sizes should go in the store. in my past experience, we would look at total company selling just as a percent to total. But that's really not the true picture of demand, because if you didn't have it, then you didn't sell it. You get yourself into what I call the loser loop. So being able to leverage a more intelligent size optimization where you're able to really understand what that true size demand was can significantly improve a retailer's ROI to really help them stay in the game and to increase their customer satisfaction, because now they're able to find their size.
Do they base that on typically what moves through the store in a particular region, for instance?
Yeah, so we typically look at similar stores selling. So if you think about clustering, being able to cluster stores based upon similar size selling, and then understanding if that store did not have the item, did the other stores in that cluster have it? And if so, did they sell it? And being able to really understand what the true demand could have been, as well as what the life cycle of the product was. Because if it's the week before you're marking it down, it's not as important as the first week that it's the floor or the second week. So having that type of intelligent process can significantly improve your profitability. But if you think about it, no human can get all the way down to a store size level for all of the products. It's just too much. It would take hours to do. So that's where you're able to really leverage the automation of analytics and then have that person and that art to be able to say, yes, this makes sense, or, you know, let's test something different.
I want to ask you about your book title, but I know every author likes to give it the little pitch. What's the actual title, and where can somebody get it, and when?
It's called Style and Statistics, The Art of Retail Analytics, and it's available on Amazon as well as Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, and the SAS.com store.
It's available now?
Yep, it's available now. It came out last Wednesday.
Great.
Yes, very
okay.
Excited.
Let me ask you about the title. I think we can all understand what you mean by statistics. What are you referring to when you talk about style?
So it's really the art, right? It's the art of fashion. It's the art of retail. It's the art of understanding what's really the next best thing. You can leverage analytics, but it's also about putting that human element to it and really envisioning the beauty of the product. So the book is about how to leverage analytics within retail. And I thought, what a great way to write a book about something that everybody can relate to. So whether or not you work in retail or analytics, everyone shops. So the book was written in a way that makes analytics consumable for anybody who has ever bought something online or gone to the grocery store. So that's where the style is added to it.
So it's not just about style as in a Paris runway, but just the entire experience of going through the store.
Yep, exactly. Everybody has their own style.
Now, the idea of combining experience and analytics seems to make sense, but we've seen tons of corporate decisions that don't make sense. And we've seen a lot of people, even in a relatively new field like analytics, saying, we don't need the business experience. We have data. And then you have the business guys saying, we don't need data. we have experience. You know, what are some of the tricks of the trade that you see out there now in terms of building that bond between analytics and the experienced manager?
Mm-hmm. So I think it's all about change management, right? And it's about ensuring that when you're bringing analytics into an organization, it's still important to ensure that your team understands that they're still needed. Because as soon as you start to incorporate change, everyone can be afraid of change. And so you never want the team to feel like their jobs are at risk and they're going to be taken over by an analytic. It's more of taking that job and maybe turning it into something different and being able to focus on something else in the business. When I implemented forecasting in my previous company, there was a little bit of worry because now you had a system that was automatically allocating the product with a sales plan from a forecast, and a lot of people were very worried because they felt like they knew how to do it and we didn't need this. But what seems to help really well is understanding and showing them that no, they're still needed, but in possibly a different way, and also validating that analytic or that forecast. As you start to see over time, oh yeah, you know what, this statistical forecast was more accurate than my sales plan. Was the juice really worth the squeeze? And they start to understand that analytics are not scary, they're not going to take over, they're actually going to help you and help improve your process so that you are then improving your own career.
Well, one thing that seems to make sense too is what the experienced business person can bring to the table early on in the process, mm-hmm. To be able to look at a data source and say, there's something missing here, or, hey, I know that organization that does that research, they're only focused on a certain market. They're not focused on ours. Mm-hmm. And, these are people who've been around for 20, 30 years, and, they can actually help to shape the analytical application.
Yep, definitely.
If they're asked.
Definitely. And that's one thing where the human element can add the insights that maybe the computer doesn't know, right? You may just get off the phone with one of your vendors who tells you that they are completely out of stock of an item. Well, that needs to be incorporated, and a person needs to be able to do that or add that knowledge. Or if you look back 10 years ago and there was a large decrease in sales, the data may not tell you that the cost of cotton significantly increased, and therefore there was a large amount of unit sales decreased or increased. So that's where that human element can really help to tell what the data may not tell in that story.
Right. Or they could point out that don't compare anything with 2008, 2009, because that was a recession.
Yep, exactly.
Hey, question from the audience here that you might be able to provide some insight on, and that is, how big is the Internet of Things in retail? We hear a lot about the future use of beacon technology, for instance, to track somebody coming into the store, and if they have your app, you kick them a special offer or something like that. Is it still test stage, or is it moving through production?
I would say that it's still in test stage. You have a couple of retailers who are starting that process today. You also have large retailers like Amazon, who is opening up a store that's completely automated and leveraging IoT. So you are seeing that the trend is starting, but it is definitely a couple years away from being more mainstream. And I think a lot of that too is just the price of the technology and being able to really make that investment and bring together the data. But it's definitely going to become a way of the future, especially when we talk about personalization. And we all have our smartphones on us constantly. I'm always signing up for coupons on my Gmail account so that I can leverage them when I'm shopping. So being able to send that promotion to me based upon the dining room table that I was looking at over the weekend may actually drive me to make that final purchase.
Now, we've heard that Amazon is planning to go physical retail. Have they determined where or when yet?
I have seen that they are opening a grocery store, and I want to say it's in Seattle, There's a YouTube video out there right now, and the concept is it's completely hands-free. So there's no cashiers. You basically leverage your cell phone to be able to pick up items, and then it's automatically charged to your account.
Now, we talked about experience, and in particular, like, you know, obviously when we talk about the more traditional stores, they have plenty of experience out there. How about the newer online-only retailers? Are they hiring experience or perhaps getting access to experience through consultants or maybe venture capitalists who have a stake in the game?
I would say that there's a mixture of both. There's definitely some venture capitalists who have a stake in the game. I always watch the show Shark Tank, and there was a small startup called Red Dress Boutique, and they actually leveraged Instagram and some different social media data to make assortment decisions. And one of the sharks on Shark Tank made a large investment in their company. I also see a lot of these online retailers hiring more data scientists as well as the traditional merchants, because there's still always going to be that need for both of them.
By the way, somebody posted on the chat board that Amazon Go is open in Seattle, but is currently being tested by employees. So if you're a consumer, don't go knocking on the door yet.
I feel like that would need a lot of testing, too.
I don't think it's going to help you pick out the ripe tomatoes, though. What when if you're talking to people outside of retail, you know, what is it that retailers are doing with this analytics and experience blend that other companies can learn from?
So I definitely think that other companies can learn from the omni-channel experience. When you think about going to a bank, you can walk into the bank, you can go on your mobile app, you can go on the website, and it's about making each of those channels seamless and having that combined experience. So really that ease between channels is something that I think any industry can learn from as it comes to the omni-channel experience. And also really understanding the customer. Because I, for example, get letters in the mail constantly for a car finance from my bank company, and I actually already have one. So it's about understanding the customer and tying all those different areas of data together to have a single 360-degree view of your customer so that you're really communicating the most relevant and meaningful communication.
My bank was every time I went to a teller, which is like three times a year, each time I would go, they would try to push me into a second mortgage, even though I had sold my house 5 years earlier.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and the mortgage had been through them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When I sold it. The NRF Big Show is coming up in January. What are you looking for there as far as insight into where retail goes from here?
The one thing that I absolutely love about NRF is being able to hear the different retailers speak about their challenges and what they've overcome and different learnings that they've found throughout the year. So that always is very insightful for us, and then really just having those conversations with them to understand what they see as trends, where they feel like there's opportunity, and how best to really partner for the future.
Now, will you be meeting people at the SAS booth there?
I will.
Okay. Let me just touch on one final area, and that I want to take you back to the idea of the outreach from analytics to business and ideally business to analytics. What are you seeing in successful companies there?
So when we think about the merge between analytics and business, the most successful companies that I've seen have that middleman. Some may refer to it as a citizen data scientist. Some may refer to it as a analyst, but it's really somebody who can understand what the business is looking for and be able to articulate the business needs and then be able to understand the analytics in a way that they can relate it back to the business. I think that's where the most successful retailers have found the key.
Now, let me take you a few years out. How do you think our shopping experience is going to change? Maybe 2, 3, 5 years out. Your call.
Well, I'll tell you, just in the last year, my own shopping experience has changed quite a bit. I am now doing the Stitch Fix, clothes in the mail. I'm on Amazon Prime constantly. I do Green Chef. So Green Chef is another company that delivers food to your door and basically pre-made with the recipes. So it's becoming more and more about convenience. I think that's really where the industry is going. So I see definitely a lot more of online sales, but being able to still leverage the store experience, but more as that experience, more as being able to not just come in and buy something and wait in a long line, really being able to come in for those meaningful purchases, be able to try the clothes on, be able to offer clienteling. So when your customers walk in the store, you'd be able to understand who they are, what their purchases have been, and how best to help them. So again, more personalization. I also see a lot more technology coming into the stores. So if you think about the technology in the fitting rooms and being able to order different sizes to the fitting room or even to your door. Same with IoT. I think IoT will increase over the years. I think in 2 years, we'll see a lot more of it. In 5 years, I definitely think it will become a large part of the industry.
A lot of that sounds like it's going to need a different, if not larger, at least a different workforce.
I would say a mixture, right? Because if you think about the Amazon Go store and being able to grab items and not have to wait in line and check out, there's still going to be the need for sales associates. If you can't find something or if you're looking for a certain brand, or I think about my mom trying to walk through that store, I'm sure she wouldn't have a clue what she was doing. So you'll still need those sales associates who can really help the customers. But there will be a different type of more technical need, because the more technology that you have in the store, obviously the more you'll have a need for technical people if something is broken or breaks, to be able to support that. And then really the analytical talent will continue to grow.
Great. Hey, Brittany, thank you very much. This has been a great discussion. I've learned a lot, and I hope the audience has as well. So thank you for joining us today, and I wish you the best of luck with the book and with your work with retailers.
Thanks so much for having me. This has definitely been a fun experience, and I hopefully look forward to seeing you at NRF.
Great. Hey, as we wrap up the audio portion of our discussion, I invite the audience to stay with us on the live chat, where our guest will spend a few minutes addressing your questions and comments. So to conclude, I want to thank author Brittany Bullard of SAS for being with us today and sharing her thoughts. Thanks to all of you for joining us, and to SAS for sponsoring this event and making Brittany available. This has been Jim Connolly for All Analytics Radio and for UBM Tech. Thank you for tuning in, and have a great day.